Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and yes, I am the owner of A Lonely Heart. This is your host, CJ DeSimone, flying solo today for my buddy Carlos Sardinas, and you are listening live to the CNC Football Factory on blogtalkradio.com. That is correct. I want to give a couple of special shout-outs as we start today's show to a gentleman by the name of Alex Best, otherwise known as @29Murdoch. All right, just want to give him a shout-out. One of our newest followers of the show, listening live. I also want to give a very special shout-out to Adrian Morrell, @AdrianMorrell29. Follow him on Twitter, as he is one of our newest followers on the show. So we just want to say thank you so much for the followers, and this is for you guys. Well, today we are going to wrap up our trifecta with the AFC East, looking at the hated rival, New England Patriots. If you guys want to join in, you can hit us up, call in live, 321, nope, sorry, almost give out a different phone number. It is area code 917-889-7042. That number again is 917-889-7042. Come on in, it's just me live. I'll get you right on the air, take all your questions, comments, or what have you. All right. Also, you can follow the show at CNC Football Factory. Okay, you can also hit us up on the inbox at cncfootballfactory@gmail.com. Send us your questions and your comments and so on, okay? By all means, jump on, send us any questions or comments that you may have. Don't forget to follow the show at @CNCJetsFactor on Twitter, okay? You could also follow myself personally at JetsFan0523, my partner in crime at @CSSSardinas. Plenty of ways you can contact the show, plenty of ways that we can get you out there, and plenty of ways we can have your voice be heard, because this is a show made by the fans for the fans. And most of all, we want to give a very special shout out to NewYorkJetsFans.com. Our buddies over there helping us get this show off the ground. Don't forget to go there and, you know, hit them up. They've got some badass articles, badass Jets gear. I've got a few t-shirts myself. Want to make sure and get them on. Looks like we've got somebody holding right now. I'm going to get them on the air real quick. Good morning. Welcome to the CNC Football Factory. What's your name?
Oh, hey, guys. I'm a really big fan of the show, and I just wanted to say, I'm just kidding. It's me, Carlos. What's up?
What's going on, brother?
Well, I'm technically working right now, but, so I didn't plan on joining the show, but I have to wait about 20 minutes for this archaic computer of mine that my current employer provided me to start up. So I figure, why not just do a show while I'm here, waiting for the computer.
Nice.
So,
Well, looks like I will not be flying solo today. Ladies and gentlemen, my co-host,
Maverick is
Carlos,
back, baby.
The Hitman Sardinas. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, live in all of his splendor. Dude, I've got a bunch of notes set up for our hated New England Patriots. I want to get this show on the road. We've got ourselves a short show. I don't know if you got to catch the beginning of it, but we've got a new follower by the name of Adrian Morrell, former New York Jets running back. Got to watch him play back in his heyday. So very, very excited. And I want to get this show on the road looking at the New England Patriots. What do you say, brother?
Well, you know, the New England Patriots, it's, you know, I'm sure you have a bunch of great stuff right in front of you, which I don't. But when I just look at their off season, most people think about obviously the Deflategate and Tom Brady and the suspension and all that stuff. But I mean, look at some of the departures they've had as well. I mean, Darrell Reeves is gone, Browner gone, their secondaries and Wilford gone. I mean, the defense has really lost a lot of pieces. And, you know, I'm sure you have all the different acquisitions and all that stuff in front of you, but it seems like out of the four AFC East teams, this is the one that took a step back while everyone was kind of making strides in the opposite direction. So that's just how it looks to me. I think they're going to come back to the pack a little bit. Of course, you still have deflated balls Brady and, you know, and the evil Sith Lord of a coach in Bill Belichick there, so they always have a chance to win the division. But I think it's going to be closer this year than in prior years, and it's going to be really tough. So that's just kind of my thoughts.
Well, you know, you bring up Brady, and that was actually part of one of the notes that I took down this morning. I just want to touch upon this real quick. Do you think there'll be a quarterback issue going forward within training camp at this point, given the fact that, you know, Greg Hardy's suspension was, you know, kind of reduced, and you know that the Brady camp is going to petition to try to make sure that his suspension is reduced. I don't see that happening. I think this is imminently going to federal court to try and get
You don't think it's getting reduced, though? I mean, they just took Greg Hardy, who committed atrocities that you haven't seen in a long time, was convicted of it, and then it was overturned. He went from 10 games to 4. So that's the same number of games as Brady's going to have. So you can tell me that Greg Hardy is the same as Tom Brady looking the other way while the deflator goes and deflates some footballs? I think it's going to be reduced.
No, I don't think so.
I think by all accounts, it has to be, doesn't it? It has to be.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Give me a moment and I'll explain. I think that personally, because of the fact that Greg Hardy committed atrocities, he committed atrocities outside of the NFL realm. Even though, yes, you do represent the Shield both on and off the field, I think that because of Greg Hardy's situation being off the field, I think that, you know, his suspension being levied could be a totally different animal of sorts. Tom Brady's suspension had to do with the integrity of the game. Not only the integrity of the game, but even though it possibly had, even though it had absolutely no outcome on, you know, the final outcome of the AFC Championship game and so on, it could have had a possibility that there could have been influences on outcomes because of how long this was going on, and nobody really knows. And the thing is that I don't see Tom Brady's suspension being levied or being reduced because of the fact that it had direct effect on the integrity of the game of football. And I think that this is something where Roger Goodell and, you know, the powers that be need to stand fast and say, you know, you cheated, you knew about it, even if you weren't involved, you were indirectly involved, you knew it was going on, you did nothing to stop it, you did nothing to report it. So that, in my eyes, is a totally different animal as to what exactly was going on with Greg Hardy. Granted, listen, I don't want to downplay what Greg Hardy did. It was completely heinous, and there's no room in society for it. But you're talking about a different animal when it comes to Tom Brady altogether and in the Deflategate suspension. I just personally think that this is imminently heading for court, and there's definitely going to be
some sort of recall. I'm done with this story. I'm done with it. I'm so done with this story. Let's look at some of the other things that have been going on with the Patriots, besides Tom Brady's wrinkly, deflated balls, if you would, Maestro.
Thanks, man. Now I'm going to have nightmares, okay? Really? You know, we're not even 5 minutes into the show, and already we're down the toilet. Thanks.
we started out down the toilet. So I did want to mention that while we are going to have a shorter show, I did also want to hit, we got some questions via Twitter that I wanted to hit regarding the Jets after we do this whole Patriots preview here. So don't want to forget about that.
Yeah, so that's
we'll,
not
we'll
a
talk
problem.
About that when you're done. Talking about New England, I don't even know how long we really want to do this. I mean, basically the preview is this. They got Brady, they got Belichick. They're the favorites to win the East still. To me, their defense has taken a step back with a number of losses that they really haven't done much to address. But I know there's a lot more to it, and I'm sure we will get to that.
Absolutely. So, as we preview our hated division rivals, we always save the best for last, unfortunately. In this case, it's because of the fact that this is a team we all want to punch in the face so badly. We will now be discussing the New England Patriots. Yes, they finished 12-4, first overall in the AFC East. They also clinched home field advantage throughout the playoffs last year. And thanks to the heroics of Malcolm Butler, which was a complete gift wrapped from Russell Wilson, they are the defending Super Bowl champions, as I have a knot in my throat as I say that. Okay.
Oh, so, man, that was such a gut punch. It really was. Just watching that for the Seahawks fans, and just as someone that's a fan of the league, that's just such a killer right there. It really was.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, I don't condone these sort of thing, but someone I know may have placed a little bit of a wager on that and may have lost that said wager if it did exist, and that someone I know may have been really upset right after that interception.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I think you and I both know who that someone is. But, you know, exactly. Just for the sake of not naming any names, we'll let that fly.
Exactly. Well, so, all right. Let's talk about some of the key departures and additions. I don't know if you have that in front of you, but if we could kind of run through this year. Okay. Great.
The key departures that I do want to talk about, obviously Darrelle Revis, who signed with our beloved New York Jets. They also lost recently. They lost Kyle Arrington, okay, and also because of, you know, a DUI conviction, they ended up losing Brandon Spikes, amongst some other people, which I know that you have, you probably already know about. So this is going to be interesting to see how this defense will bounce back, should I say, after the losses. Now, I did want to take a quick look at their...
I think the biggest loss for them, and I don't think you mentioned him, but, I mean, even on top of Revis, is Will Fork. He's a Texan now. And so
yes,
that is a giant gaping hole in the middle of that defensive line that they're hoping to replace with a rookie defensive tackle. I forget his name off the top of my head. I know they drafted one in the draft. But, I mean, that's a big question mark.
Yeah,
I know the secondary also... is also a question with Revis going, Arrington. I mean, they were able to lock up McCourty, which was good for them. They needed to lock up somebody back there, and I think actually it was probably the better signing. But Will Fork not being in the middle, that's kind of a big deal. One of the biggest deals to me.
Yeah. The player that you were alluding to that you know was Malcolm Brown, the first-round selection defensive tackle out of Texas. He's got some very big holes or very big shoes that he's
going
to have
to fill.
He does
have a very big hole. Oh, man. How do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know that? Did he show it to you?
I have no idea. Once again, at least we have that one.
Which hole was it?
Oh, God.
All right, keep going. All right. I know we're going to derail us.
Real quick, I just want to run through their entire draft. Okay, Malcolm Brown, which we already know that they selected in the first round. Jordan Richards, defensive back out of Stanford, they selected in the second round. They got another gentleman who they're hoping will actually stick on their defensive line, Geno Grissom, defensive lineman out of Oklahoma. And then, of course, you know, we can't forget about the 3 fourth-round picks, which they made a deal with the devil in order to get. Trey Flowers, the defensive end out of Arkansas. Trey Jackson, the guard out of Florida State. I actually like that pick, believe it or not.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did like him coming out.
Yeah, Shaq Mason, the offensive lineman out of Georgia Tech. I think that he'll help, but I still think he's about a year away from being NFL ready. Fifth round, they ended up picking up Joe Cardona, a long snapper out of Navy. That'll definitely take some heat off of Rob Ninkovich, possibly giving him a couple plays off so he could actually rest. Not like he really needs any. Matt Wells, out of the sixth round linebacker out of Mississippi State. he's still been projected to be a long shot to even make the team. So that still remains to be seen there. A.J. Derby, another sixth-round pick, tight end out of Arkansas. Because of the depth chart, essentially their tight end depth chart goes like this. Rob Gronkowski and everybody else. Scott Chandler
Gronk, and he's going to Gronk, and that's just what Gronk does. And as much as I hate the Patriots, I have to say I do like Gronk's shenanigans in the offseason because they're not like Johnny Manziel being a moron. He just goes out and parties, and that's fine by me. I actually like it.
True.
If he wasn't a Patriot, he'd definitely be in a different list for me altogether. I think he's just a hilarious dude. But, you know, I have to hate him because he's a Pat. But out of all the Pats, I hate him probably the least.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I do like Gronk outside of football. I think he's an overall funny guy. But, you know, when he puts on that uniform, I just want to punch him in the face. But anyhow, I digress. Moving on, as we go to the seventh round, we have Darrell Roberts, the cornerback out of Marshall. He's also been projected to be another long shot to make the team. And Xavier Dixon, another defensive lineman out of Alabama. He might end up making the team because of the fact that the Patriots lacked depth on their defensive line. So that was their 2015 NFL draft class. Overall, NFL.com rated them a B. I would probably grade them a B minus because of the fact that they still have a ton of holes that they did not address. I do agree with you that the defense as a whole is definitely going to take a step back, but it still remains to be seen. All right, so nevertheless, moving on, that was the draft class. Another thing I wanted to bring up, the defense, you know, we talked about the defense taking a step back, especially – all right, the secondary. Carlos, what are your thoughts on the secondary?
Well, I mean, I already said it. They're going to take a step back. They lost Revis, right? That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did a lot for them last year. And I could have sworn Browner is not with them either. Maybe he still is. I don't know. I thought he was gone.
So Browner is actually – yeah, let me take a look. Yeah, Browner is actually gone.
Yeah, and so your two starting cornerbacks gone. So now you're going to Logan Ryan and I guess Butler, right? I mean, he's going to get a chance to start now. I mean, that's two gigantic question marks that you just opened up because he didn't get a chance to re-sign him. I know they were trying to get Revis back. Jets basically magic money Mike Maccagnan was just tossing dollar bills out the window at Revis, or probably hundreds. Ben Franklin's at him.
Exactly.
And he got to bring in Revis.
Well, I just want to go over your starting secondary just for, you know, shits and giggles over here, because when I take a look at this depth chart, and it just absolutely just leaves me scratching my head a little bit. If week one was tomorrow and it started, okay, or hypothetically today, because today is Sunday, okay, your starting defensive secondary would look like this. Logan Ryan, Bradley Fletcher, mm-hmm. Patrick Chung, and Devin McCourty. Aside from Devin
Fletcher
McCourty,
over Butler. Okay. Okay. I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's still somewhat of a battle, but yeah.
Okay.
It's not good.
Right, now you're,
I mean, it's probably the weakest secondary in the AFC East, wouldn't you say?
I have to agree with that.
Outside of McCourty, I mean, what the heck is a Patrick Chung? I mean, what the heck has he really ever done? Not he's been around a while, but I mean, nothing. Nothing about that secondary outside of McCourty being a really solid safety scares me in any way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. The second line over here, you take a look at, you have Malcolm Butler, Darrell Roberts, Duron Harmon, and Tavon Wilson. Again, which none of those really strikes fear into anybody's hearts. And then, of course, we have our third round, which is Robert McClain, Justin Green, Nate Ebner, and Jordan Richards. All of which
are you just naming people off the street? I mean, who are these people? I don't know who these people are.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then, of course,
did
you have our fourth round.
Did you find the roll call at the local Y and just start naming names? Who the heck are these people?
Yep. And then, of course, you know, we can't leave out Derek Cox and Dak Swanson, which are unofficial guys at this point, as far as the defense. But this secondary really does not reek of anybody where, if I'm Geno Smith, you know, and all of my problems getting the ball out there, I should be, like, licking my chops and saying, you want to know something? This may be Buffalo Bills 2.0 when I carved up that secondary.
Well, exactly. Okay. If the front line could hold up, Geno Smith, he's going to have Marshall, who's probably going to be licking his chops after facing other secondaries, which are much better. You got Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker just licking their chops, you know, to play against basically what were backups last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I completely agree. Let me ask you real quick before we kind of wrap up this whole Patriots thing, because, you know, we don't want to talk about – I don't want that nasty filth in my mouth on a Sunday. It's really not even –
wait a second.
It's not even right.
I haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet. We'll get to the good stuff. Don't worry.
What's the good stuff? What good could come of the Patriots?
Trust me. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, get to it. Fine.
All right, so now, our beloved New York Jets, their first encounter with the New England Patriots will be on October 25th, in which we travel to Foxborough. This is going to mark the first season in a while in which we do not open the season playing the Patriots, or they are not of the first three games of the New York Jets schedule. Okay, and this is a very, very big deal, and I'll explain why. Because of the fact, Brady's four-game suspension, say in a perfect world this gets upheld, say Jimmy Garoppolo beats out Matt Flynn, okay, just for argument's sake.
Beat up Matt Flynn.
Okay?
My dog
take a look
beat
at the Patriots. Take a look at the Patriots' first four games, okay? They open up against the Steelers at home. It's an 8:30 game. Then week two, they have to travel to Buffalo to play the Bills, Rex Ryan and the Bills, which, you know, Rex Ryan, our former head coach, just has a complete and utter hard-on for the Patriots. So that game itself could end up being Jesus Christ.
You mean flying Rex Ryan?
Skydiver
extraordinaire? Okay, that's all I'm going to say about it. I think that name should stick now because he is now airborne, and I don't think I could have ever imagined that.
Why don't we just name him Air Fat then, if that's the case?
Because he's not that fat anymore. I mean, if he was big like he was when he joined the Jets, he's like air kind of fat. No, he's flying Rex Ryan, and that's what's got to be the nickname now.
Okay.
Anyways, I digress. Sorry,
right,
I keep on derailing you. You had a perfectly good show planned.
Come on, man, I got an agenda. We got to stick to it.
And I am messing this whole thing up for you because you didn't plan on me calling in. You didn't plan on any of this. I'm just messing it up. I'm just screwing it all up.
It's all good. You know I work it on
the fly. My computer's still booting up. I told you this thing's ridiculous.
All right, so now we go on to week three versus the Jaguars. Okay, now granted, the only advantage to this game is that the Jaguars are still a team in rebuilding, but however, I do like your boy Blake Bortles.
Oh, they're not losing to the Jaguars. I don't care if they did have Matt Flynn back there. They're not losing to the Jaguars. They're not.
Okay.
That's good. That's a game they're going to win. I'm sorry.
And then week four, all right, essentially they get a gimme. This is where they got it. They ended up having a bye week. Okay, so your first three games. Okay, you have your Steelers, the Bills, the Jaguars. You know the bye week. So essentially, if you think about it, Tom Brady is essentially going to be suspended for the first four games of the season, for the first 4 weeks of the season. Whether that actually
games.
Includes
he's miss the
week
game.
Five.
If, right, yeah, he's going to miss the fourth if it's upheld. There's a fourth game, week five. What is it?
Okay, so the week five, they're at Dallas to play the Cowboys. That would be a very, very interesting game.
I mean, that's not a gimme with him. You know what I mean? That's
exactly.
A tough game either way. I think if they come out of the first 3 weeks with a win, they'll probably be fine. I mean, here's the other thing that most people forget about. The Patriots kind of start slow. Remember when everyone was tossing dirt on them after they lost to
mm-hmm.
Kansas City? I mean, they notoriously start slow the past couple years, 3-4 years going. I mean, I remember when Arizona was hot to trot when they were first coming around. And they beat the Patriots within the first 4 weeks. And the Bills have beat, you know, they get most of their losses in September. So with or without Brady, I think it's fairly irrelevant in the overall grand scheme, especially if it gets reduced from four games to two or something like that. But even with the four, you know, they come out of it 1-3, 2-2. They'll probably, they still have the rest of the season to make it up. And that's why, as much as, you know, I like not having Tom Brady there and seeing this whole ridiculousness happen, it's ultimately irrelevant in the grand scheme of the division because they'll still be right there fighting for it with everyone else.
Yeah, I agree. But I still, as far as us, as far as how New England matches now up against the Jets and their revamped roster, okay, this is going to be very, very interesting because we played the we played the Patriots at home on October 25th, okay? By that time, you know that the first week in October, second week in October, we start getting into what I like to call the attrition period. Guys get hurt. You have to plug other guys in, guys that have not really started. There are sometimes you have your second-tier guys in having to plug holes until your first-tier guys come back. The Jets, I think this first game at Foxborough, have the ability to go up there and upend them, even with Brady.
Absolutely. We talked about this, but if you look at the history, of course we've got a chance to go beat them. We have a chance every year. The past 2 years, I would say our games have been decided by less than 3 points in each game. So, of course, we have a chance.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. We definitely have a chance. And I know, different coach, whatever, but primarily the same personnel. We've added some pieces. They've lost some pieces. Yeah, we could go to New England and punch them right in the frickin' mouth. Punch Tom Brady right in the frickin' mouth. I want to do a real quick rundown. I mean, really quick. Just look at the defense. Jets versus the Patriots. Secondary, obviously win for the Jets. Linebackers, I would kind of save a push. I mean, maybe slide that.
Yeah,
to the Patriots,
I would.
But defensive line, I mean, we're head and shoulders above them. So
yes.
The entire defense, I would say, is so much better than the Patriots. And then offensively, obviously, you know, Brady, if he's playing, is going to be better than Geno. But here's a question. Let's just say we played them in the first 4 weeks, right, and Brady was suspended. The question would be, who would you rate higher, Jimmy G or Geno Smith?
I'd rate Geno Smith based on the experience. Easily.
And then
no
their
doubt,
wide receiver core. Okay, how about their wide receiver core versus ours?
Ours. Easily. Brandon Marshall and...
With
Brandon Marshall, Devin Smith, who we know he's going to make the team. He's going to make the team in some capacity. Just because of the fact you add those two pieces, okay, plus Eric Decker, Jeremy Curley, you can't forget about them. There's no doubt. The entire Jets roster from top to bottom has been significantly upgraded from the 4-12 disaster from last year. Period. So the Patriots, they may come in and Bill Belichick may say, yeah, well, we could always pencil this in as a win because, you know, we hate the Jets and we always have their number and so on. Not so much, man. Not so much.
Not so much is right.
Okay? Yeah,
it's
not
right.
So much. Okay, you know, Todd Bowles is a completely different animal. Chan Gailey, I have faith in Chan. I really do. I have faith in Chan that he's going to – look, if he could turn Ryan Fitzpatrick into a superstar, he will definitely be able to work more with Geno.
I wouldn't quite have said he turned into a superstar in Buffalo. He was above competent in Buffalo.
Ryan Patrick got paid.
He played five games and got paid, and then he – yeah, kind of fell off. But, I mean, hey,
yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't have called him a superstar, though.
He
turned him into a competent NFL quarterback, which in and of itself is pretty good. Do you want to kind of wrap us up here with this whole Patriots thing? Because I do want to get to some of the questions we had from the Twitter line and the emails and all that.
All right, so real quick, the next time that the Jets will play the Patriots again, which will be, it'll be a belated Christmas present for Jet fans, December 27th at MetLife Stadium. That game, I can guarantee you, will have playoff implications for the New York Jets and possibly the New England Patriots, and I would love nothing more than to stick a dagger right into the chest of Bill Belichick on that day when the Jets come away with a win. All right, so that is pretty much my assessment overall of the New England Patriots. We already talked about Brady. We talked about the secondary. We talked about issues on the O-line and the defensive line. We talked about Scott Chandler, which essentially, all right, and we already talked about the player losses. So that is your analysis of the New England Patriots. My prediction, the Jets will sweep the New England Patriots this year. There. I said it. It's out there. It's done. Carlos,
okay.
You still with me? So did you sweep?
I'm here. I'm actually about to fall over right now. I don't think I can predict a sweep of the Patriots just yet. I'd see a splitting, sure. Maybe, you know,
okay.
I would love for a sweep, but I'm just saying, I don't know. All these division games are going to be tough, you know. And I've talked with other people offline about what I kind of expect is, I know this is very bland and mundane to say, but I kind of expect us to split with pretty much the entire division. If we sweep somebody, great. But I would see a sweep in more Buffalo than New England. Or I would see a sweep in the Dolphins more than New England. But you never know. I'd like to sweep everybody. Go 6-0. Win the AFC
yep.
East. I'd love to see it. But, you know, I got to be realistic. I'm still cautiously optimistic. Okay? Todd Bowles has done nothing as a head coach yet. So I just want everyone to remember that. He sounds great, you know, and he's said all the right things, but nothing has happened. He has not had to call a timeout. He has not had to decide whether to go for it on 4th-and-1. He has not had to decide whether to kick that field goal at the 2-yard line or try to punch it in. He's done nothing as a head coach yet. So until I see it in person, I'm not going to be all in with, you know, euphoric praise and orgasming all over the place about how great Todd Bowles is. That's probably a little obscene. Sorry, kids.
All right. So anyhow,
all right,
moving
let's move on to the questions. Let's do the questions, right?
Yes, let's go, dude.
All right. I'm sure you had a chance to prepare for this. We got a couple questions here. Let me scroll way back and see if I could find them. All right. Here's a question. Who is your top five underrated Jets going into training camp? And this comes from our buddy Biff Sweeney. Check him out on No Fly Zone, also on the New York Jets fans website. So I'm sure you had a chance to think about this. So I will see what you have to say. But who are your top five underrated Jets going into training camp? And then there's another
okay.
question after.
Oh, sweet. All right. Give me a second here. I actually had this list, and I had the list. I didn't get the opportunity to write it down, but
all right,
here
I'm
are my top,
my top five. I already have it off the top of my head, so I'll give mine.
All right, go.
Number one underrated Jet, Jeremy Curley. Number one underrated Jet. Everyone's forgetting about Curley. Number two underrated Jet, and you may see him start off the season a little hurt, but D. Milner, underrated Jet. The injuries and everything else aside, I still think he has talent, and a lot of people, of course, with the new signings are not looking that way because we have fresh, shiny new toys. But D. Milner is underrated. Number three, underrated, Legay Doosable. He's actually going to play a little bit more in the first four games because of the suspension with Sheldon Richardson. So he's going to have to spell the rookie, going to have to spell Mo Wilkerson a little bit more. He's done great the past couple of years filling that role, and I think it's going to be very important, especially the first month of the season, for Legay Doosable to come in and do well. Number, what am I at, four? Four?
Okay.
Our inside linebacker, Demario Davis. I know Jets fans love him, but he's still underrated league-wide. I think he does a great job, doesn't get the respect he deserves. And number five, underrated Jet, and this one's a little bit off the radar. He's going to be important coming into the season, and he will make the team. Kellen Davis, the big bad boy tight end that's going to be a blocking tight end, which we've needed forever. He's going to be vital to this running game, to protecting Geno Smith and to punching it into the goal line, getting our red zone offense back to where it needs to be, which is, you know, I mean, basically above retarded. So, Kellen Davis, number five.
All right, cool.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to give you mine real
five.
Quick. All right, awesome. Well, I'm going to give you mine. You and I actually agree on a couple of those picks there. okay? Jeremy Curley, number one, definitely going to start making some noise. Two, Rijay Dusable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay? He's definitely going to make that team because, again, he's going to be sitting time on there. Three, believe it or not, Ode Abushi. Yes, I said it.
Good choice. No,
you
no,
and
a
I
good
have
choice.
Had drugs.
It's
yes.
a good choice.
Ode Abushi, I think
absolutely agree with you.
I think he's finally going to step up. I think he's definitely going to make this roster. I think he's definitely going to help them out. They need all the help that they can get on that offensive line. This is his opportunity to shine, and he's got to do it. Number four. All right. I.K. Nkempali.
You can't even say his name. Of course he's underrated.
Yes, I know. He's damn straight, but I think that he will have the opportunity to step up, given the fact that the Jets linebacking core is so thin. Okay, he's definitely going to need to help out Demario Davis and David Harris in every way possible. Okay, and so I think that he definitely will be there. And number five, you're probably going to knock me in the head for this one, but you know what?
No,
I'm
going
to do it
going.
Anyway.
I know where you're going. Dakota Dozier.
Offensive lineman. The reason being is because the Jets offensive line needs so much help. This is the opportunity for new blood to infuse themselves and to finally give the Brickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold the help that they so desperately need, and to obviously give Geno that push up front so he could actually get rid of the ball, okay, and we could have some sort of a competent running game with our three-headed monster that we got back there, or should we call it the five-headed monster, or running back by committee, or whatever the hell they're calling it these days. That's my top five.
All right. Excellent answers, CJ. And here's a follow-up question also from Biff. Who are your top five fringe players who could break into the 53-man roster?
I can give you mine right off the bat.
Okay. Let's hear it.
All right. Deion Barnes, linebacker out of Penn State. Who the hell else? I had the whole list up in front of me before. Quincy Inouye. I think that he can do it, provided that
man.
He comes back.
I don't know. Okay, go.
Okay. Shaq Evans. I think that he could actually be useful on special teams. Hopefully that they can do it. Believe it or not, Salim Hakeem. I think that he
Salim
has an opportunity.
Salim Hakeem's not going to make the team. I mean, stop it. No, these people are not making the team. You're naming wide receivers. There's like one of them that's going to make it. And none of these scrubs are going to make it. Sorry.
Well,
they'll
make it on special
teams,
I think.
They're not going
to
make it. They're not. Shaq Evans is not going to make the team. No. He's not. Salim Hakeem might be a dream, but not for anyone that's a Jets fan. He's not making the team.
All right. Well, my last one over there, I'm actually looking at your boy, Kellen Davis, tight end out of Michigan State.
Yes, I actually really like what he brings. He's just an ox, man. And we've needed a real blocking tight end, not like a Matt Mulligan or something ridiculous, but an actual blocking tight end who could also be a huge target in the end zone. He still has hands, you know. I mean, he's 6'7". He's still got hands. So that's, all right. So I'll give my five. I think number one, and I don't know if he's even fringe anymore, but my favorite to kind of make the roster from the wide receiver perspective as your kind of fifth or sixth guy is Chris Owusu, because he can contribute on the team.
Yes, he can.
That's who I think is going to take it over these other schlubs that you were mentioning before. Kellen Davis is another one I like to make the 53-man roster. So, and actually, I'm going to go back to the tight end well and say Wes Sexton is a fringe guy that can make this team.
Okay.
And just forget the Cumberland. I think maybe we may have seen the last of the Cumberland if Wex Sexton does well in this training camp and in preseason.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yes. let's see. Another fringe guy. All right, here's one that most people will probably say, what the heck are you smoking? I kind of think a fringe guy, and I know he's been on the team for a while, that could make the team, but is definitely on the bubble, is Jaquan Jarrett.
Yeah.
I'm getting a message from work. They're trying to tell me to work right now. What the heck? Oh, why are they doing this to me? I'm trying to talk Jets football. Get off my back. Another fringe guy I think that has a chance to make the team and possibly even contribute is one of your boys that you mentioned earlier, Dakota Dozier. I like that kid. I think he might, much like we saw with the Boucher, they sat him, didn't touch him last year, when he was a rookie, and then Dakota Dozier, for the most part, really didn't play. I think we see him maybe become a backup of some kind. And then my fringe player, I actually agree with you on the Deion Barnes pick.
Really? So
those are my five. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think he has a chance. Because, as much as we have Duzable, we have Williams and all that, you still need someone that could be a true nose tackle, right, that Sheldon Richardson is, and I think that's what he could be.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's
very
five.
Good. All right, awesome. Well, we are coming up against it, so now it's time for That's All I Got. And unfortunately, we lost our clip, so I can't play it. So
That's All I Got.
There we go. All right, perfect. So now for this segment of That's All I Got, and pretty much for those of us that are new listeners over there, this is when either Carlos and I go on a profanity-laced tirade about something that we just want to
complain
about.
We can't do profanity.
About.
No profanity.
Exactly.
We can't do profanity. We do kind of used to be profanity-laced tirades that are now replaced with sunshine and rainbows. That's what we do, right? No, I'm kidding. We don't do sunshine and rainbows. We're Jets fans. We don't do sunshine and rainbows. We
That's
do misery
right.
and pain and torture.
All right. Well, anyhow, for my segment of That's All I Got.
Like whatever.
Again. pretty much. That's where we're at right now. But anyhow, I did want to comment on one thing. Joe Klecko needs to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. No questions asked. He needs to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. We need to make this happen. Sign the petition. Get on out there. I don't know the website for the petition. For details on the petition, go to nyjetsfans.com. Get all the information there. Help get Joe Klecko into the Hall of Fame. End of story. That's all I got. All right. So, another episode of the CNC Football Factory has now come to a close. Be sure to tune us in next week on blogtalkradio.com for all of the details. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at CNC Jets Factory, or Jets Factor, I'm sorry. Also, don't forget to shoot us an email if you have any questions, cncfootballfactory@gmail.com. Again, you can follow my partner in crime, Carlos Sardinas, at CSS Sardinas. And also follow myself at JetsFan0523. All right, Karen.
I want to just put
another...
this one little question out to everybody. I want to hear back from you guys. Do you guys like the shorter format? I want to hear back from the two of you that listen. Do you like the shorter format? Do you want us to keep going longer? I'm just kind of curious. I want to know because I personally kind of like the shorter format.
All right.
That's just me.
Well,
I want to hear back from everybody that's listening.
Exactly. We posed that question to you guys. Do you guys like the shorter format? Hit us up on Twitter or hit us up on the email. All right. That email address again, cncfootballfactory@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is @cncjetsfactor. Let us know what you think. In the meantime, Lonely Hearts, take us home. We will see you guys next week. Check out nyjetsfans.com for all the latest action. This has been the CNC Football Factory. We'll see you guys next week.